This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Everybody, welcome to Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. I'm Steph March. I'm here with Alex Lunder today.
Hey.
Sorry, little frog in the throat as I
wow,
said your name.
Wow, she backed away from me.
I know. Okay, Alex, what are you up to these days? You're like writer, food writer extraordinaire, but you're sort of chilling a little bit. Yeah, you're taking a little time to kind of like figure out what you want to do and be.
I'm quiet quitting.
Well done you. Congratulations.
Just slowly easing out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
I like
time.
That.
Time. 24, 25 years.
That doesn't mean that you're not still eating around town, though.
Eating as much as I possibly can around town.
That's fabulous.
And, you know, we'll definitely take a good gig when I can get it, including this.
I've
told you a million times my favorite thing to do.
You're kind of the host on the side. I love it. Between you and Molly and Elizabeth Reese, we have a pretty good rotation right now. Not to say
I think it should one time just be Molly, Elizabeth, and myself.
And you guys,
you see what happens.
You feel like you guys could, like, if we're both on vacation instead of a replay, have you guys sit in?
I think Elizabeth can be the leader. Yes. I don't know how the buttons work, so she'll have to be here.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have to see.
Sure.
I know next week we are off. Everybody's off because we have it's Easter break, and so we're gonna have a replay next week. And then the week after that, I think I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Hanson will be back, but I'm gone. And then the next week after that, we'll both be back. So it's kind of been a while. Hanson's been, as you may have seen, you know, all over the Caribbean with her little sailing endeavors.
Such a good deal. I was hoping that would sort of like fall into my lap once I retired, but so far no.
No catamaran weeks.
No, not yet. Right. Waiting.
Well, nonetheless, it has been. I mean, we have to start with the weather report. What I mean? You do. You have to start with the weather report. That yesterday was sort of this like freak out for everybody, or Thursday night, and of course everyone is just like panicked about Sunday. I think.
Right. My friend's kid's school got canceled on Friday.
Oh, what? My driveway was melted by 9:30. Yeah. Like, I did not shovel.
Yeah.
And I will not shovel.
No.
Because that sun, that March sun is legit.
It's done. I know. It's such a Minnesotan thing. I did get called out by a few people when I posted something about it, because that's the law in Minnesota. You have to post about weather.
And I got called out. You might lose your Minnesota card if you don't.
Happily. Uh-huh. but I got called out like, oh, come on. It's been such a nice winter. No complaints. And listen, I get to complain.
I just want to say congratulations to all the people who all month long have been mumbling. Well, you know, March is the snowiest month.
I know.
All of those people are like so superior right now.
Your article was spot on. It was so funny.
I have one particular friend who that is aimed at. I mean, she is like literally every time everyone's like, oh, it's so nice out. And she'd be like, well, you know,
it might be the same friend that called me out on Instagram. We'll have to discuss on break.
Oh, I guess we'll have to. This is a subtweet moment. We're subtweeting someone right now. I don't know. But that is, I will say that like yesterday turned out to be a pretty sunny, nice, you know, afternoon to get your stuff done. And then today looks like we're going to have a pretty good day until tonight and into tomorrow. And I guess then there's like a talk of 6 inches and yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada. Yeah, we went to a concert last night and got all bundled up thinking, I was like, you know, bring a coat that you don't care about losing because I don't want to not wear a coat. It was fine.
I know, it was fine. It was, I totally switched back to my
walk, and it was absolutely fine.
My spring coat. I held out the thicker one, and I was like, no. Also, and you know, I mean, I do kind of do want a reason to hunker, though. I got to be honest. Like, I do. I'm looking for a reason to stay, like, tucked under the blanket.
Go to Finland.
I know. I really should. Because I want to watch, there's things I want to watch, things I want to read, all sorts of. Okay, let's talk about vegetables because you have a thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Segue. Yeah. I've just been obsessed with vegetable forward dishes. And I don't know a better way to say that because it's not vegetarian.
So there's possibly meat in these dishes.
Well, possibly, you know, lard or what have you.
Oh, so not vegan.
It's not vegan. Well, or
vegetarian is just. Well, that's it's
you
a
wouldn't
loose,
use
it's a loose term.
Yeah, yeah. But and maybe some bacon, sure. But just really interested in these dishes that are all around town that are so beautifully constructed and so thoughtful and are veggie centric.
Right.
And I went to a restaurant on, I don't know, a couple nights ago, sat at the bar, made a meal out of only vegetable dishes.
Wow.
And we loved it.
Wow.
Great leftovers.
Wow.
Right? You're not going to necessarily nuke a steak when you get home.
Yeah.
But these always make a great leftover situation the next day. Crack an egg on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So
where else have you, like, what else
have
you?
So that was Estelle.
Okay. Estelle.
And it was so, so good. It was, we had two or three dishes and all vegetable centric dishes, halloumi, cheese.
Oh, the halloumi is a big player in the veggie centric world.
Right. And it's got that satisfaction, that bite.
Yeah, I think
to
so.
It.
And it delivers the umami punch that you're missing necessarily.
Right. And we had their patatas bravas, which I ordered just because I love saying it.
Fantastic.
Patatas
bravas.
Patatas. And those were amazing, really kicky. Really kicky. They didn't hold back. Great. And then my favorite currently is Dario. So they call it the grilled cabbage dish.
Yeah.
I have to argue that name. It's a potato dish. It's a beautiful mashed potato, whipped potato dish. It's like a little mound. A
little mound.
Of whipped potatoes.
Pureed.
Sure. That's the right word. And then, I don't know, like four leaves of cabbage, but the sauce, they have a very tangy, vinegary sauce on there. I have all my notes, but I'm just not looking at them.
No, because you have to remember it from your gut.
Because I'm actually tasting it right now.
I know.
And it's, that dish is just heavenly.
Again, Dario seems to be, you know, doing a lot of great things.
He really is.
You know what
he
I mean?
Really
is. And definitely the pastas and definitely this. Okay, but this is, you understand, you know, because you texted during the segment that Hanson and I have like a carrot cabbage face-off. And it's not really a face-off because there's no winners here. Actually, we're all winners here.
There's no losers here.
There's no losers here. We're all winners.
Absolutely.
But it is, cabbage has been more of a stretch for me. And I describe it as the era that I was in Prague. boiled cabbage.
Oh, yeah, you were talking
every
about
day.
That. Yeah.
But I do think, and I'm sort of fascinated more by carrots because I think that they've played a place in our lives for so long in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, like glazed or boiled, you know what I mean? They're just there.
As utensils for dip.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see that play. I'm interested when I see, you know, olives and capers with carrots, because that to me is like, that's a mind blower. That's like a door opener for me.
Right. Well, they have obviously a much stronger flavor. They're very sweet compared to cabbage is neutral.
Right.
100% neutral.
Right.
And so.
Well, it's sulfuric. What do you call it neutral, I guess.
I guess
because
I grew up with a German mom too. So I ate a lot of cabbage and it feels like you could throw that fresh in a salad and would you taste it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Whereas a carrot, you would.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So then you've got. So then you've got the. Okay.
That's true. People put cabbage on tacos and things like that.
Oh, fish tacos, of course.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
And so then with a carrot, seeing that go real savory, like you're saying with capers, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's where that play comes
that's
in.
That's at Pink Ivy.
Because I know.
You
I know.
Go.
We were talking about Pink Ivy. It's on the list. I might even try and hit it today.
I know.
You never know. And I
They're
love
open
his
for lunch.
Food. Love it. Yeah, I know. I called. I love Michael's food. His was my favorite dish at Malcolm Yards before they they left.
I'm hoping it's coming back in like a way, shape or form.
A surprise.
The Benjamin
dish.
Button.
Maybe he'll make it if I drop Molly's name.
There's a lot of thought of vegetables because we are in spring. Spring has sprung. It is technically official.
The shrub in front of my bedroom window says so.
I know. The trees above my roof are definitely got like the nubbins.
Yeah, I have this. It's a really ugly shrub.
Yeah.
And it's the neighbor's shrub. And it's right in front of my bedroom window. And when I'm getting ready in the morning, I see that shrub all the time. And it is my sort of, you know, it's my alert.
It's your like, alarm.
It's your seasonal alarm.
It's clock.
Okay. It's and boy, those buds came in early.
I know they did.
And now
they
really they're huge.
I've seen pictures of people's rhubarb sprouting in their yard. So let's just say that. I know. Isn't that shocking? All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break. We have a packed show.
And Grant's here. Hi,
and Grant's here. Hey,
What's
Grant.
Up? How are you?
So glad to have you.
Thank you.
It's going to be a fun show. We have Mike Brown from Travail coming on. Wow. We have the kids from The Meal Magazine. They have a new cocktail book coming out. We have, and Kim is calling in live from her restaurant where she is basically making lunch for the
Starting
first time.
Starting lunch, yep.
And then we have Dan Pashman from The Sportful coming on. So excited to talk about his new book. What is it? Anything's Pastable.
Pastable.
All right. Stay with us, you guys. It's a great show, and we'll be right back.
We sweat together. We grunt together. We meditate together. We play together. We dance together. We splash together. We breathe together.
And deep breath in.
We belong together. Join the YMCA to strengthen your basic human need for community. Learn more at ymcanorth.org.
We are here with Mike Brown, who is from Travail, and you are. Good morning. How are you doing?
It's early for a chef.
It is early for a chef.
It's early.
I know. Thank you for being here.
He looks so proper and innocent with his hands in his lap.
I know. Be careful. He's just an innocent. Just an innocent here. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So this is, I just wanted to kind of check in with you about what you guys are doing. You know, Travail is up in Robbinsdale.
Yeah.
And you guys are kind of, you know, you have a lot going on lately, guy.
Yeah.
This is interesting to me because there's people, we were just talking about a couple of restaurants that are, you know, just open and they've got their world contained. Dario, I know you've been to Dario.
Yes.
And Pink Ivy and stuff. We've been talking about
them.
I'm
going to Pink Ivy this next weekend, I think. I'm going to try to sneak in there after service. I always like show up at like 9 because that's when I can like sneak out and go see places.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm pretty much tied to the restaurant.
That's it. But you guys like aren't just one thing. You are like 15 things now at this point.
Yeah.
Depending on what day of the week and where the moon is aligned.
Besides Travail, you have the Basement Bar, which has its own thing going on.
Yep. So it's like all in one building, right?
Yes.
It's just like, you know, we do events up on the rooftop patio kind of, and there's like a sky lounge up there and a bar. And then we have the main level, which is what we call Travail Signature.
Yeah.
So we've been around for like 14 years now because we're like old.
Yeah.
We used to be the
You used to be the hot young bucks, but now you're like
14 years.
Yeah. It's crazy,
wow,
right?
Wow, that is crazy.
I know.
Yeah. So the main level we call our signature chef's tasting. And we are just jumping into this new concept, which is called Giglio.
Yeah.
It's our take on Italian.
Yeah.
We try to stay true to like, classic Italian style, but we definitely put our own twist on it. And I think the biggest twist is that we are basically, you know, we thought to ourselves, like, what do you love about Italian food or going to an Italian restaurant? It's like, well, I want the whole menu.
Yeah.
You know, I want to try everything. So putting it through our lens, instead of being able to get like 3 or 4 courses and taking some home, we're like, what if we try to give everybody like the whole menu? Like every little thing that you could like on that menu. So it's a 22-course tasting right now, which is about as far as we go with that like courses.
That is as far as you can push the human experience,
and the spaghetti is hanging from the ceiling, and you have to go get it.
Yeah, it's definitely very interactive. We're like,
yeah, you need to have like a cardio break in the middle or something.
Jazzercise with Mike Brown.
It's fun, and we do. It's bites, right?
So yeah, it's bites.
Some of the things are bites, and then I would say like the pasta dishes are probably 2 to 3 bites.
Yeah.
But we don't fill you up on any one dish. We just take you through this like just this little journey of Italian style food, and people are loving it right now. And the best thing about it is telling someone, because on our website it says like 10 plus courses.
Yes.
And they're like, so we're gonna go through 22 courses tonight, and they're like, What?
Right? Oh, God.
I should have worn bigger pants.
I mean, typically it's between like 12 and 14 or like 10 and 14 courses. It just depends on like what kind of cuisine we're kind of tackling or what kind of idea that we're trying to put out there. For instance, like right now in the basement bar, we have one last week of umami.
Yes.
Which is basically the whole concept. It's like Asian street food, but it's built around the word umami, which is savory, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we use all the different flavor profiles to try to like boost that flavor up. And it's about 10 courses and you're just as full as the 22 course because they're just different sizes.
Yeah.
But within that, you know, we do sake bombs.
Mm-hmm.
We do some karaoke at the end.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's some cooking at the table that you get to actually interact in yourself. So,
oh my God.
How much longer is this going on?
It's literally this last week and then we're done with it. We've been doing it for about 3 months. We go quarter by quarter in the basement and we do like every 4 months or so on the main level.
And this is, and in the basement is where you've done like, the haunted basement is kind of your most popular. Is that your most popular?
Yeah, I would say haunted basement and holiday bar.
And holiday bar.
So
they did the holiday bar this
year. The fourth quarter is bonkers in the basement because, it gets so theatrical.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And our next concept actually down there, which we'll talk about in a second, is very theatrical as well.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, the haunted bar, it's like literally watching a show. We actually write the script of the show that we're doing.
Yeah.
Like seven people die like during of our employees, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's very, very Halloween. Then we write the food to the script, which is one of the, when we get into that mode, we're like, this is going to be wild.
Yes.
Like, which is actually happening. This next concept is that exact same thing.
And so what is it?
All right. It's called Buddy's Bar.
Buddy's Bar.
And it's, in the theme of
Friends. My God.
So it's the 30th anniversary and, we're fans, like all like the majority of the staff, and it's being led by my GM, Samantha, and she's like, I know everything about... Do you guys know anything about Friends?
I'll take her on, Samantha.
Alex is ready for it.
Let's
the
go,
trivia
Samantha.
Throwdown.
There will be trivia during dinner.
Awesome.
Okay, and I think it's a 9-course tasting, which is kind of funny because we watch so many different episodes of food. Yeah. And we came
up, there will be sandwiches.
Oh, so it's very Americana. I mean, they're in New York, right?
Yeah.
So the whole menu is very Americana. So you're going to see like some classic Italian, some like bodega vibes. There's just a lot of things that like, you know, well, for instance, like we're going to be finding, you know, Rachel's ring and Monica's lasagna.
Oh, right.
And,
the meat trifle. Are you going to have a meat?
Joey doesn't share food.
Right.
We all know that.
There's so many things where it tastes like feet.
There was like 40 things.
I want someone to walk in with a turkey on their head, though. I mean, like,
don't
that
worry.
Is.
You don't think we're going to do that?
I mean, that is like typical Travail.
Yeah,
that's just
worry.
Like a
that's,
day.
What's really funny is yesterday was a big surprise. The actual Friends couch showed up. So we're going to, we'll be sitting on that. Taking some photos and throwing them out there to kind of like promo. But we're all just looking at it. And I'm like, it's the couch.
Is it?
We got it.
It's the couch.
We got the couch.
You can order the couch?
I think we're going to like do a thing where, you know, because do we need the couch afterwards? Like when I put it in my house or what?
Yeah, right.
So I think we're going to do something where, you know, if you want to put your name in the hat raffle, like at the end of the concept, we'll just, if your name's in the hat, we will... We'll hit you up and say, you won the couch.
You won the couch.
You got
I think David Schwimmer lives in Chicago. He might be able to do a little road trip.
Oh, my gosh.
So you can move it upstairs.
That would be bananas.
He can help you move it.
He can help you move it. I'm not even going to say the word.
Don't say the word. Don't say it.
Yeah, that might be a scene that happens.
So, okay, so tell me this, though, quickly. Like, is this a thing? Do you feel like restaurants, like, are you guys just having fun? And is this just like offering something different? Or is this, do you feel that the call that people's attention spans are shorter, that you need to cater to this?
Well, I mean, honestly, like I said, 14 years, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we've done we've been in through so many different iterations of what we, like, who we are.
Yeah.
Like, there was this, when we first came out, we were like, they're the charcuterie guys.
They do
all the charcuterie. It's like, yeah, well, now that's just one of our things that we know how to do, and we put it in certain menus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were the molecular gastronomy guys.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, they're like these scientists that do all this stuff. I'm not a scientist. I'm like, you know, I'm a straight C student, baby.
Yeah.
But until I went to culinary school and I got straight A's, I'm like, okay, maybe we should probably
maybe
step
we
into
should
something.
Figure
it's
this
about
out.
Passion,
yeah.
Absolutely.
But sorry, my phone beeped. I don't know how to turn the silencer on it because that's how old I am now.
That's how old we are. Okay, you got 20 seconds.
Okay, so anyways, yeah, we're excited for these concepts that are rolling in right now, and they're going to be rolling for a while, so all the way like through June.
Okay.
So tickets so are fun. Available.
All right.
It's fun.
We're excited.
Please come in.
All right, we'll check you out. Thanks for hanging out, Mike. Okay, we'll be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Take a nap, do some yoga, read more books? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. And one thing I've learned from therapy is the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. It allows us to be the best version of ourselves. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get it matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/weeklydish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/weeklydish.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Welcome back to a Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. I'm here with Alex Lodner today.
Hello.
And we
talking
are
cocktails first thing in the morning.
I know. Woo. I really wish that we had like live action drinking going on, but we don't, just so that no one, my bosses get mad at me for this. But we are so glad to be joined by two of the people who have put together this beautiful book called Twin Cities Cocktails. It is from the team behind Meal Magazine. We have Molly Each and Mecca Boss here with us. Hello,
Hola.
Ladies.
Hi.
I wish we could be popping some corks here, but that's okay.
The 14 karat queen is calling my name.
Oh, in the cocktail book?
Uh-huh.
All right. So what we have here is, you guys, well, first let's talk about Meal Magazine, just so everyone understands what this is. Meal Magazine is a literary journal, should we call it, that's aimed about food and foodways and all that kind of stuff. And you two are sort of editors, or give me your spiel here. What's Meal?
Yeah, we're both part of the founding editorial team of Meal Magazine. What are we calling it? Semi-regular now?
Yeah, semi-regular.
I mean, every like, once in a while.
I feel that, like in my bones.
Just like everything, you know, the pandemic put a damper on that. But yeah, I mean, I think we put some really cool stuff together in that magazine. And yeah, it's a little bit different, I would say, than your average food magazine. What would you
totally
think?
Totally. Yeah, like long form storytelling, yes, like beautiful paper.
Yes.
You know, meant to be like something you hold and treasure.
It's
and
like a literary journal. That's literary what I journal think about yeah it, you yeah know, because I feel like, you know, as far as like something you kind of keep on your coffee table,
mm-hmm,
that's what
exactly
I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
yeah
it. I love it. So you guys have stories had a bunch of issues out, but then you were approached to do this Twin Cities cocktail book. Why all of a sudden do a book?
Well, someone, I think, found Meal, this guy in Maine, and he was an editor at the small press called Cider Mill
yeah
Press. And so I just got an email randomly. I sort of thought it was spam at first. And he was like, we're going to do a Twin Cities cocktail book. You know, our press does a series, and we think Meal would be great for it. And so we kind of talked and like, how do we do it? How do we stay true to Meal, but also
right
like meet the needs of this book? And so then we did it. And then it was the press was acquired by HarperCollins, which was great.
Oh, wow. 'Cause
then it's like, you know, some larger distribution. And yeah, we had a good time putting it together.
Oh my gosh, I think that's so cool. Okay, so what did you guys find? This Twin Cities Cocktails book, it's not just recipes, is it? And that's what I think is lovely. This is not just like a, hey, this bar, this recipe. You have, it's a pretty richly, it's a richly put together book with lots of stories and lots of things. What did you guys find was kind of interesting about telling the stories behind the bars?
Well, I thought it was a nice opportunity because they were pretty open to letting us take charge of what this could look like. And so it was nice for Molly, Pete, and myself. We each kind of like took took the reins on a topic that was important to us, I would say, or the way we like to enjoy bars and drinking. And so, yeah, there's some essays in here. And for me, it was really important to make sure that we're focusing on BIPOC-owned and operated drinking establishments. And so that was like something that I am passionate about and that I wanted to make sure made its way into this book. So, yeah, it's nice because I think it's a reflection of like the three of us and our personalities and the way that we like to drink.
was there any stories that you while you were writing the book, or was it just you guys who wrote the book, or did you have other people come in and write things too? Or
well, we tapped Joy Summers,
oh yeah,
dear friend of the food community,
yes,
to write just an essay on like how the cocktail world has changed and how the scene has changed, and then we talked to Marco as well, and he wrote an essay that's kind of the evolution of a cocktail, like how it starts and then like how he evaluates it and how it changes. So then he provided this recipe that changed. He showed the changes over time, which I think is really interesting. So we did want to get a few more voices in there, but primarily it was the three of us.
Okay, cool. Together. And so are there any stories that surprised you, or any like any bars that were like you weren't sure that you knew anything about, and then all of a sudden you learned, you know, that there you learned a little bit more of the inside stories?
I don't know about that so much, but for myself, I produced a feature-length audio documentary called The Godfather of Black Space, yes, in Minneapolis about the life and times of Anthony Brutus Cassius, who was the first black liquor license holder in the Twin Cities, and he really had to fight for that. I mean, before the Civil Rights Movement, liquor licenses were really thought of as the domain of white people, and I think we're still seeing the legacy of that, not just in the Twin Cities, but all across the country.
Yeah.
So I wanted his name in this book,
yes,
and it is, and so that's so I'm very proud of that.
Oh my gosh. So
yeah.
Excellent.
So it goes into, I mean, I feel like one thing with Mecca sort of having that beautiful essay that we could like sort of tailor to the book a little more is that we do talk about the history a little bit. Like it has, it isn't always just like, yay, Minnesota. We've done everything right. You know,
we know how to drink.
Right. So we do talk about the history and how it's changed and what spaces in the city are welcoming to black and brown faces. And what that means, and in addition to like fun drinks and sourcing locally and all of that sort of thing. So I think we did a good job of capturing like the reality of the Twin Cities.
I love that. That is perfect. I also love that you kind of, you know, you broke it down a little bit by area of Minneapolis, St. Paul, the suburbs, and then you also talk about distilleries. Can I ask you guys, what's your favorite bar?
I mean,
you pick one?
Oh, yeah. Grumpy's 100%.
Are you a Grumpy's girl?
Oh, yeah. We live in Northeast. And I think part of why we moved there from Chicago like 7 or 8 years ago is because Grumpy's was down the street. It's like, I always need a corner bar.
Yeah.
That just feels good, that restores you, that feels like community.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to live in Uptown and I practically lived at Nightingale. Like there was stretches of time where I was in there sort of every day, and like sometimes I would show up like early and they'd be like, Mecca, you know, we don't open until whatever.
So just let me get behind the bar.
So shout out to Nightingale. Yes. And you know, their chicken wings and their fries and their very inexpensive bubbly wine. But
yes.
I'm also on the St. Paul side. I really, really, really like Brunson's. Mm-hmm. It's just, yes, like the quintessential neighborhood bar that everybody wishes they had. And they put a huge emphasis on making sure they have a diverse staff that reflects what the neighborhood looks like. And they really work at that. And you can see it reflected in the dining room. So Brunson's for the win. Like, if you haven't been there, it's on Payne Avenue. And I mean, it's just a fabulous neighborhood bar. I wish it was right down the street from my house.
It's a great place for a Sunday brunch. Sunday breakfast.
Yeah, and their food is so good. They make scratch food and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh my God.
Really good. Awesome.
Yep. I love this. So we're talking with Molly Each and Mecca Boss, who are with Meal Magazine, who have put out a new book called Twin Cities Cocktail. You guys, I noticed that you have a little thing about Megan Ludtke in the back here, who is actually one of my favorite people in the DDP, the Danny Del Prado. You also have Nick Kosovich. You have some of the bartenders who are important. But do you guys feel that there is, can you confirm or deny for me that there seems to be a real vitality in the female bartenders in town?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, some of the most, you know, powerhouse people are, you know, Jesse Pollock, Megan Ludtke. People, women who are really making a name, who are influencing others. Yeah, I'm it was super exciting to be able to tell their stories.
And seeing the bartenders and talking to the people who are doing the drinks instead of just having it be, you know, the owners of the bar or the name of the chef or whatever. I really believe like there's something about the creativity that comes from the bartenders themselves. You know, that's sort of the grassroots little bubbling up. That's where it really, that's the fun stuff of the cocktail scene right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think just flipping through this book, my favorite part is just the human interest part of it. The fact that you want to hear the story of the people who are creating these.
Yeah.
Because a cocktail is just like a dish, right? It's very elaborate and layered. Mm-hmm. And you want to hear the stories just like you do about the chef.
I know. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. Can I ask you guys, what is your signature drink? Like, what do you make at home? Okay. First two things. What do you make at home? And then what do you order when you're out and about?
Well, for me, at the risk of sounding like the server who doesn't like peas when you ask about the peas, I'm actually strictly a wine drinker. I do not drink spirits. And every time I do, I wake up with the knowledge of why I don't drink spirits.
Oh, right. It confirms for you your path. So I think, well done.
Yeah. So many years ago, I when I was still working at City Pages, I voted Megan from Scarta's best bartender, because when I would walk into Scarta's on West 7th Street, she would know that I liked a giant glass of wine, and she never threw me any shade for that. So to me, like, that's what a bartender
is.
Absolutely.
Wine. Okay, wine.
Okay.
Wine.
I do love wine. Sometimes just like a dirty martini is great, but I love a smoky cocktail, like a mezcal. Anything like with smoke. Oh. I want like a campfire.
Like a scotchy?
In my mouth.
Like are you a Lafroy?
Like a Lafroy?
Oh, yeah.
Same. Or any like a mezcal cocktail. I just want fire.
Okay.
Not fire, not spice.
You want to suck on the end of like a campfire
exactly,
log.
Same
yes.
here. Anything that has smoke
I'm
coming
with you
out of it.
I do too. I love a mezcal, but I love that triple wood smoke Lafroy.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that scotch whiskey. Mm-hmm. Babies. Yep. All right, you guys, how can people find this lovely book?
Okay, well, we encourage you to order it from bookshop.org.
Good job.
Which if you're not familiar with Bookshop, they do the best job, and for every sale they donate to a local like brick and mortar bookstore. So if you're an online order, order from bookshop.org. We sold out on Bookshop, and now they just got a new shipment in.
Yay.
So that's a great place to buy. Otherwise, I saw it at Patina the other day.
Okay.
You can get it at barnesandnoble.com. And
it's a super great gift book.
It really is
a great fit, actually.
It's 100 recipes inspired by Minneapolis and St. Paul, an elegant collection. Mm-hmm. I love this. It's really pretty. It'll definitely sit on your bar cart.
It's gorgeous.
As you know, and be a thing that people can pass through. This should go in people's Easter baskets. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's what I think. This would be in my Easter basket if someone was hiding an Easter basket.
With chocolate and with cocktail books.
Yes. Thank you very much for that. All right, ladies. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. Guys, it's the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. You can give us a call and ask us anything you want about, you know, Easter's coming up, vegetables, you want to talk about cocktail books and other things. 651-641-1071 is the number to call. Hey, I did want to talk a little bit quickly. I had mentioned something last week, and I wanted to kind of expound on that. And I did in the newsletter that I'm writing called Pickle, if you remember.
I do.
Are you a subscriber, Alex?
So much. I'm pretty sure I am.
So anyway, you guys, on Pickle, I had been talking, and a couple people had sent me a message because I had mentioned that I was sort of cutting back on caffeine.
Oh.
And I know, and
what's
I have...
What's in your cup? Because it looks like a wine glass.
It is a Brother Justice, whiskey cooler. There is no whiskey in here, I want you to know.
Bummer.
But the difference is, I guess I was having this conversation and somebody, they didn't really understand that espresso has way less caffeine than drip coffee. And that's like a thing that I think, I thought everybody understood, or maybe I, did you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, but coffee is kind of my thing.
This is true. You are a coffee nerd.
So, but... Well, yes, but so what was the conversation about?
So the conversation was I had another person send me a little email, but I basically the fact that when you're drinking like so there's about 80, you know, there's about I think what do we say 40 per, you know, 40 milligrams of caffeine per ounce of espresso. Mm-hmm. And then so if you're having 2 ounces of that, which is a normal, you know, like a latte, right. But then it's all, you know, it's all milk usually, right. What you're
especially
drinking.
Especially in a latte, hence the name.
I know. And so that's like, so yeah, it's, and then caffeine or regular drip coffee has, you know, it's less per ounce, but you're usually drinking, like I was drinking 4 cups every morning.
Right.
That's 400 milligrams of caffeine every day.
Right.
Well, I mean, for 30 years.
Down, it goes down easier and you're not aware of how much you, it's kind of like getting a cup, going back to cocktails. It's like having a cocktail that's, it feels like it doesn't have a lot of alcohol in it because of whatever else is in there. So you're more likely to drink 3 glasses.
Yeah, right, right, right. So the difference of like, yeah, so now I'm just making these little, while I'm waiting to figure out if I want to buy an espresso machine, you know, I'm sort of in the phase to see if this is a phase or if this has been a habit that is turned.
You don't want to buy an espresso machine.
Really?
Mine's in the basement.
Yeah, but how often do you drink? But you're making coffee every day. That surprises me, actually.
I make...
Do you want me to take over your espresso machine? Maybe that's the way I'll...
Possibly.
Can I rent it? Can I rent it from you?
Oh, it's... You don't want this thing. but I make an olé every day.
Okay.
And then I will also go out for coffee.
Yeah, I mean, I... Definitely
it's
grab coffee.
It's a very expensive habit.
But I used to get like dark roasts in like a tumbler even when I went out. And so like that.
Do you drink black coffee?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
Oh, see, that's the thing. So I'm having drip, straight black. But if I'm having espresso, I throw a little glurg of milk in there and to soften it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that's my new thing is I use these instant espresso like packets that I get from Whole Foods.
Yeah.
That is shockingly great.
Yeah, yeah.
It also reminds me of Europe. I swear to God, when you pour them in there and you stir it, you're like, oh my God, I'm back in that breakfast nook at that hostel in Germany.
How long do you have? Because my coffee is actually an Israeli instant coffee that I grew up with that I now order.
Okay, you may have to bring me some next time.
I feel like we've had this conversation and
did
I failed you again. It's not a packet. It's a big tin.
Okay.
And when I, you know, I go to LA a lot. And so now I got myself one for my friend's apartment in LA so that I can have my regular, it's the smoothest.
Okay, will you bring me like a couple teaspoons in a baggie?
I'll just bring you a tin.
Bring me a baggie. Okay. We have a couple callers on the line we're going to take. We got Brian on the line. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you want some more controversy?
Yes, always.
Is this our Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Peeps, yes or no?
Oh Peeps? Yeah. I'm going to say a yes with a caveat. And my caveat is that they have to be dried, open and dried for like 3 or 4 days before I touch them.
I know people that need to cut it open and age it.
Yeah, they need to be aged.
What?
Yeah, and then you dip them in whiskey and then you roast them over the campfire. It's fantastic.
Okay. Brian, I'm going to go with a hard no.
Okay. I'm no, no, no. No one should. Not even.
Same with. I'm with you, Brian.
Brian, I'm going to bring you Peeps to the state fair. You better watch out.
Okay. Take care.
We'll see you then. Okay. Bye, Brian. All right. We also have Rebecca on the line. Rebecca, what's going on today?
Hey, ladies. Good morning. I am pro Peeps, but they have to be dry.
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, my God.
Mind blown.
So I am still on my sober January, February, March, into April journey. But I am craving a cocktail, like a good mocktail. And the only one I had that was great was at Mara.
Oh.
Anywhere that I can buy them or get them, especially on the East Metro.
East Metro. So here's three. I'm going to give you two great ideas. One is called Dry Wit. Have you had the Dry Wit?
No, not at all.
Okay, so that's more like a wine, but it definitely you could pour it into you could actually add a little bubble to it, a little seltzer to it, and put it over ice, and it is a delicious cocktail. It is the guy, Peter Schweigert, who is from Marvel Bar from forever ago. He's the guy behind it. So it's definitely a cocktail brain behind this Dry Wit. And then the other is the Tres Leches guys, you know, Marco, who we were just talking about, Zapia, he's got these little cans that I find at all my friends' parties now. They just put these little cans out. And there's one called Ispahim, which is this sort of rosy, beautiful cocktail. You can find all of these at Marigold. Have you been to Marigold yet?
No, and I'm sick and tired of going to that really big box liquor place.
Yeah, no.
Because they have the most, but I just don't like doing that.
No.
Marigold's your place.
You got to go to Marigold because this is, she has a place in Kingfield right across from Ola Arepa. And she did open one in St. Paul near the Como, you know, near like the Swiss Village. And
it's in right by It used to be a Dunn Brothers. What is it now? Finnish Bistro.
Yeah. And let me tell you that Erin Flavin, the woman who stocks that store, she has, it was her mission to open an NA bottle shop, but she has literally sourced things that nobody else in the Twin Cities has. Like,
yay, I'm excited.
You got to go, girl. Tell her that the Weekly Dish sent you.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, ladies.
Okay. Thanks, Rebecca.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. That is seriously, like, if you're thinking, I mean, this has been, I have definitely cut back my alcohol intake lately, and not because I do, you know, a cleanse of booze or whatever, but I mean, whatever's, you know, is working for you, keep on it.
Yeah.
But I will say I'm really excited to see when I've been to my friends's, you know, we've had dinner parties, we've had gatherings. There's always a really great collection. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that more of my friends, we might start with bubbles and then they move to, you know, an NA beverage. And it just kind of keeps the night going a little longer, actually.
Right. And I did not partake, but when we were at Estelle's this week, they have a really lovely looking mock cocktail menu. I didn't, I had the sangria, but.
I have to tell you, I had last night at Westside Wines, I had this, they were doing a tasting every Friday from 4 to 6 at Westside in Tonka. You know, the Texatonka.
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. They do a little tasting. And so sometimes I'm up and I went and got a sandwich, but they had this great pet gnat. And you know that I'm a pet gnat freak, right? Which is.
I did not know this about you.
You didn't know this?
Well, you didn't know I knew everything about friends.
This is so true. We still have things to learn about each other.
We do.
How fabulous.
Romantic.
So excellent. But this pet gnat, this is the first French one I've had, which is like. Mm. You know, pet gnat is, it's got its own fermentation. It's a little bit more of a natural bubble wine. Mm-hmm. So it's got a bit of funk to it. To me, there are zero hangovers ever with pet gnat, like zero. And it does not, I feel way better the next day than I do if I'm drinking a super high sugar content one. Anyway, I can't remember the name of it right now because, of course, when it's like I've decided to say something and then I know I haven't even opened it, but I tasted it at the tasting bar and then I stuck it in my fridge. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of spectacular and I'm going to remember the name and then I'm going to post it. So how about that? Okay. But Pet Nat is a great spring way of getting into, especially a lighter drink. I think it's a lower ABV anyway. So for me, a lot of my moderation things are exactly that. With coffee, I'm not quitting coffee.
Right.
I could never quit coffee, I don't think. Right. So I'm trying to like figure out how to cut back. I haven't found a decaf that I've loved yet. And I would, if I felt like I had to go that way, I would. But I'm okay with that.
It's kind of like with meat for me. Everybody's like, oh, so you're vegetarian?
No, I love this about you.
I just, you know what? It's not my favorite anyway.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be my first or second or third choice to order. But when you and I are at the fair, I'm eating all the meats.
Yeah.
It's just, you have to sort of integrate it into your life in any way that you, the whole balance thing in any way that you can.
Right. Right. I do agree with that.
That made no sense. I need more coffee.
You do need more coffee, but I do think that balance is key. And that's like, I don't know. I'm finding that when we're in right now, the springtime, like that's what people are looking for. So as we head into like the warmer months in our different lives. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We come back, you guys. We have Talk to an Hour 2. We have Ann Kim. We have Dan Pashman. It's a loaded hour. Stay tuned. This is The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1.